Sure appreciate everything that's been said or done thus far, and good to see everyone. I can honestly say that from the bottom of my heart. On a day like today, remembering, you know, our fathers and what they meant to us and what they did for us. If my father was alive today, I could not even begin to thank him and to reward him for all the things that he's done. And I want to say this about two fathers that mean so much to me in my life. First one is actually my father-in-law. And I remember that when I was fighting the call to preach, I remember that one weekend, there were three people that just asked me straight out, no conversation whatsoever about God or about the scriptures or anything. One asked me, "Are you called to preach?" Second one sang a song about Paul's mission. And I remember the one that was singing it looked straight at me, and I thought, oh my lands, it's printed on my forehead. The third one was my father-in-law. And we were sitting watching a John Wayne movie. And Ray turned to me and he said, "Paul, are you called to preach?" And you know, it wasn't until years later that I really, really surrendered to it and tried to give my all to it, as I want to do for this church as I'm here as pastor. The second father, last testimony I ever heard him say, and he was, I could tell he was pretty feeble at the time. And he stood and testified, and of course he told about his salvation. And I really wasn't expecting anything more than that. But I remember my father saying, "I couldn't be more proud of you, Paul, if you were president of the United States. And I'm proud that you're standing in the pulpit and preaching for God." And I carry that, and I can even tell you the church where he was standing, my father also was my hero. I learned a lot from him about work. I learned a lot from him about taking care of family. I learned a lot from him about God. He wasn't raised in a Christian home. But he married my mother after the Second World War. And I won't go into detail about the story of that. That's a story in and of itself. But after that they married, she started taking him to church. And in church, the preacher would preach about a born-again experience and a no-so salvation. And Dad just didn't understand that. How in the world can anybody know that they've been saved? To him, it was like, well, when you get to the judgment, if you did good, the good outweighs the bad. If you did bad, the bad outweighs the good, and you would go into your eternal home accordingly. But he went to the altar several years, to my understanding, trying to seek God, wanting to be saved, and he was saved at home. And in his experience of salvation, he said, "I wanted to get close to God. I had this impression if I could get close to God, get close to Jesus, undoubtedly he would save me." And Dad didn't know any better. He took a picture of Jesus like that off the wall and put it down on the divan and just put his face as close as he could to it. Well, he was eventually saved. And of all the preachers that I ever sat under, and all the ones that ever got to me, my father's testimony, when he would stand and testify, convicted me so deep because I saw his life. I saw how God was in his life. I saw how he lived his life. And when he told about being saved, it just cut right down into here for me. Because I knew I didn't have what he had. And so years later, I was saved in August 29th, 1971. And I've been saved ever since. But I'm thankful for my father. I don't want to give him just too much honor and everything today, but he taught me how to be a father and to my sons. And I've tried to do that. I've tried to follow his lead. And as Forrest Gump says, that's all I got to say about that. If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you would turn with us to the 15th chapter of the book of Luke. Now, we're not going to try to tarry you too long. And be careful whenever a preacher says, I'm not going to try to preach too long. Usually just the opposite happens. But at any rate, in the 15th chapter of the book of Luke, and if you look at the chapters before and after, it deals with one single thing. That is something that was lost, but yet was found. We find that there is the coin that was lost in the preceding verses of Scripture ahead. The coin that was lost out of the 10. The one sheep that was lost out of the 90, out of the 100, the 90 and 9 being left. And then you go over into the other chapters, and you'll find in the 19th verse of the 16th chapter of the book of Luke of a man that lost something, and he lost it forever. And that was his soul. But we want to deal with something today that's a little bit different. And in this 15th chapter of the book of Luke, and in the 11th verse, we find these words. And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and he wasted his substance with riotous living, and I'm going to add a little bit to that, and debauchery, and immorality, and drunkenness, and everything that you can think of, he took part of. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. It began to look very dark and very bleak and very hopeless for him. And so he got so desperate in the 15th verse that he went and joined himself unto a citizen of that country. And do you know what his job was? He sent him out into his fields to feed swine. Now, there's nothing wrong. I've done it myself. My father raised swine. I can tell you some stories about dealing with them that probably you wouldn't believe, or maybe you would. But this young man got so desperate. It says in the 16th verse that he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Now, we want to stop there for just a moment. We'll continue on through the other verses of Scripture. But my thought today is about a father's love. A father's love that just goes beyond what we can imagine. When this young man decided he wanted to leave home, you know, there's a saying that, you know, when I was 16 years old, I thought my father was the biggest fool that ever lived. When I turned 20 and 25, I was amazed at all the knowledge he had accumulated. And I want you to know that in the folly of this young man, he decided he wanted what was coming to him. Actually, contrary to what the law would teach and what the law would say. And he said, "Father, divide unto me all that is coming unto me." He said, "Divide unto me my living, my inheritance." And so, interestingly enough, the father divided it, but if you notice today, that it was, he divided them among them. Well, I'm of the opinion he divided and gave to the young son, to the older son, to himself. He just split it all up. But this young man took what his father had earned and what his father had given him and what his father had taught him and impressed upon him. And he went off into a far country. I want to tell you something. The world looks enticing today. Our young people are tempted daily. They are confronted with things that you would not imagine. We were speaking with a member just a little while ago about one place that she went into, and she said right there at the entranceway was a big display on the subject of witchcraft, how to cast spells, how to curse someone, how to worship the devil. All kinds of things like that. That's what our young people have thrown in front of them. Not to mention today, even the things that are being taught in school, if you're dissatisfied with the way that you're made, become something else. I've heard stories about where young kids dress up like cats. They want to be a cat. I've heard where that some young people want to change the very gender, the very sex that they were created in, and they want to become something else. The world tells our young people, they tell us today that change is good. Now, not all change is good. We need to keep our foot back on solid foundation of Christ Jesus and His righteousness. Even if we're progressing forward, we need to keep ourselves angered. But nevertheless, this young man just lived it up. He lived with the harlots. He lived with the good timing friends. He gambled it away. He drank it away. He spent time with prostitutes and everything that you can imagine. This young man wanted to taste it all. He was going to take his father's inheritance. Actually, what would have been his later, he took his father's inheritance. And this is the way that he wound up. But you know, the good timing friends and the prostitutes and everybody soon began to leave him because you know what? He ran out of money. He ran out of wealth. And he found himself in want. He was in a foreign country, and he'd never been in that kind of condition before. And he began to be in want. And I want to tell you something today. Sin will take an individual a lot farther than they want to go. It can take them down to the very dregs of hell today. And I want you to know we need to pray for him. We need to pray fervently for him. Because I want you to know there's nothing out there that's going to satisfy that God-sized hole like Jesus Christ can. And nevertheless, it said that there was a famine, and it said that he joined himself unto a citizen of that country, and he began to do something that no upstanding young Jewish man would do. He began to feed swine. Now, in the law of Moses, they weren't to eat it, they weren't to touch it, they weren't to be around it. But he got so desperate that he began to hire out to feed them, to go out in the middle of the herd, to try to lay down the husk and everything that they were to eat. And you know, he got so hungry. You know, what he was paid probably wasn't enough to feed him. And he began to look and began to see, boy, those swine are sure satisfied. They sure are hungry at first, but man, looks like they fill up. You know, I just don't know. And you know, I can almost imagine he got right down into it with them. And I would imagine he fed himself with what fell from their mouths, right down rooting right among them. You might say, you make it so dramatic. I want to tell you something today. The wages of sin is not pretty. The wages of sin is death. And that's separation from God. And in this instance, it was separation from his father. It was separation from his home. It was separation from everything that he had known. He was rebellious. Have you ever known a rebellious child? You're looking at one today. My father was good and he was patient and he let me spout off a lot of things I shouldn't have been spouting off because I thought I was better than him and smarter than him. But I want to tell you something. There comes a day whenever that the chickens come home to roost, so to speak. And we find that the Bible tells us that he began to think and he began to reason and he began to wonder. He said, you know, my father's servants have all of this bread and they have enough to spare and I'm in a hog pen and I perish from hunger. He came to himself. It's not bad to be, it's not wrong to necessarily be a sinner, but to be a sinner and stay in it and to know what you need to do to make yourself right before God and to reject it altogether. At least this young man had some sort of training, some sort of teaching somewhere that his condition was not exactly what his father wanted. It wasn't what God wanted. My friend, he began to come to himself. Sin is madness today. My friend, it will change a person's thinking to where they'll want to change themselves. And they'll reject and reject and reject God. But thanks be unto God that he can speak, he can break through that stubbornness, that rebelliousness in a child or whoever. He can break through. And he can get a hold of a person, get their attention in a way that they don't forget. He said, I'm perishing from hunger. He said, my father's servants fare better than I. And I wonder if he began to think this is going to be my life, living in a hog pen. He became a hog. He smelled like a hog. He acted like a hog. Whenever that you're around hogs, you'll do what dogs do. And that's what happened to him. But then I want you to know something broke through to him. He said, I remember my father's servants, but I also remember my father. And I remember the household, and I remember his love, and I remember all these things about him, his goodness to me. That's not God speaking. At any rate, he remembered all those things. And the Bible tells us, I'll rise and I'll go to my father. That's what he came to. He came to a point of repentance. I want to tell you something, my friend. Repentance is more than just a change of mind. It's a change of mind. It's a change of heart. It's a change of soul. And that's what happened to this young man. He did not want the world anymore. He said, I will rise and I will go to my father. Now, this rebellious young man probably had his own way of thinking. He probably felt himself really something. You know, whenever I was growing up at the age of 16, I don't look like it now, but I used to lift weights and wrestle. Boy, I thought I was hot stuff. Whenever that I walked down, you know, the high school hallways, and I'd look at these guys and I'd say, you know, I bet I could pin him in 3 seconds. And one day I was outside and I was kind of roughhousing with my dad. I thought, you know, I'm going to pick him up, all this. And so I put my arm around his neck and I said, come on, man. Come on, old man. Show me what you got. Show me what you got. And Dad looked up at Mom and Mom like that. And the next thing I knew, I found myself on my back. with his knee right in my chest. At that time, I weighed about 170. He weighed about 135. And I asked my mom, I said, what's the deal here? He said, well, you don't remember this, but your dad was wrestling and boxing champ in his division when he was in the Army. I left him alone after that. I surely did. But I found a great respect, not from that, but from all that he did. How that he loved. Now, he could have hurt me worse than what he did. All that was hurt was my pride. But he could have hurt me worse. I mean, he stood about that high. But he was a tough, tough character when it came down to it. And I want you to know that this young man thought that perhaps the same thing. He said, I'll rise and I'll go to my father and I will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. Do you know how much that took to get to that point? Do you know that young man's pride had to go by the wayside? He had to lay it aside. He had to get to the place to where that he rehearsed it, but he rehearsed it from his heart. And he said, I will say to him, I am no more worthy to be thy son as one of thy hired servants. And so he arose, and it says he came unto his father. Now, the father, I would imagine, had been standing out on the back step, watching down the road to see if his son was coming. You know, as a father, I never really gave up on my sons whenever that they would do crazy things and smart off and this and that and the other. They learned you don't smart off to dad. But I want to tell you something today, my friend. There is something within a father that loves his children, that loves his son, that loves a wayward son. A wayward son, my friend, that was trying to come back. And I would imagine he was praying that he would come to his senses. My friend, I want to tell you something. If you've got children that are out in the world and caught up in it, don't give up on praying for them. Because I want you to know we serve a God who answers prayer. We serve a God, my friend, that looks down into the heart. We serve a God today, my friend, that knows the very intentions and the very thoughts of our heart. And he knew this young man, and God knew that he needed to get back unto his father. And so as he came back, it said he arose and he came to his father. He came to his senses. I believe he repented. I believe that he came to God. But we also find that he had to make things right with his father. And you know, an apology to dad is one of the hardest things to give. But I want you to know, friend, it's well worth it. It's well worth it to have your father in your corner, right along with you, supporting you. And so we find that it says that when his father saw him, now the father did not see him and think, well, here he comes. About time, boy. You learned your lesson yet? Maybe you ought to go back and feed them swine some more. Maybe you need to learn your lesson. Did you learn your lesson? Well, you're not going to park your feet under my table. The way you smell, the way you look, the way you act, the way you walk. You're not coming. Don't think you can just waltz right in here and just be a part of the family anymore. No, he didn't say that. Because he loved this son. And it says that when he was a great way off, it says that he ran. He ran to him. I want to tell you something. God will meet you more than halfway. God will run to you. Whenever that we call upon his name out of a sincere heart, out of a broken heart, a contrite spirit, and we make our way unto God, whether it's for salvation, whether it's to repent over something that we've sinned against God with, my friend, God will meet you more than halfway. In fact, God will come all the way to where you're at. And so this young man, his father just came running unto him. He didn't care about the hog smell. You ever smelled hog? Oh my goodness, it's hard to get off your clothes. It's hard to get off your shoes, your boots. But I want to tell you something. He probably could tell where he had been before he got there, because the smell probably preceded him. But I want you to know that this father loved that son. And the Bible tells us that he ran. And it says he embraced him. Oh, he would get all that filth and rags on his good clothes. No, he didn't care. All he cared about was that son. That's a father's love. That's a father's love. That's the example of how, my friend, that a father loves the son no matter what it might be. And someone will say today, but you don't understand how my son is. You don't understand what he has done. But my friend, down deep inside, you love that boy. You love that child. You love that girl. There is nothing that you wouldn't try to do for them, even whenever that they stray. And when they walk away, and sometimes even walk away from the faith. But it said that he fell on his neck and he kissed him. He began to hold him. He began to embrace him. He began to love on him, if you will. You know, there's a song that said, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Boy, there's some truth in that today. We need some love. We need the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. And we find that this son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven. My friend, he wanted to include it all. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against God. I've sinned against everything that was ever precious and ever precious to us. And he said, I'm no more worthy to be thy son. Just make me one of your hired servants. Just, you know, I'll sleep in the barn if you want me to. I'll sleep in the cellar if you want me to. I'm not worthy to set my foot. You know, there are times whenever I felt that way towards my dad. And as he got older and older and older and older, you know, I think, man, I wish I could have some of those wasted years back. I wish my attitude had been a lot different. But you know what? Even back then, Dad loved me. And my friend, I believe he loved me to his dying day. And I want you to know today, my friend, your father loves you. And you might say, my father's gone, but he loved you. And don't you ever forget that. And don't you ever listen to a culture that puts down fatherhood either. Because a father is important in the home. A mother is important in the home. Male and female, Jesus said, created he them. It's a good formula, and it's a formula we need to stand for today as a people of God. Because I want to tell you, anything outside of that, my friend, is treachery that has been hatched out of the very bowels of hell. And I can give you scientific papers now from Sweden about where they experimented with such things, and now it's fallen, and the house of cards has fallen. And now that idea of changing yourself has brought about a lot of misery. It's brought problems. It's brought sickness. It didn't work in Sweden. It won't work here. Amen?
Amen.
And the father said unto his servants, he said, you bring the robe. You know, I can imagine those servants kind of, son still kind of smells a little bit, but we'll get some cologne for him. And said that he brought the best robe. I want to tell you, when you're saved by the grace of God, God robes you. Did you know that? You're given a robe of righteousness. Every one of us have got the same. Do you know what the righteousness is? It's the righteousness of Christ. It's the image of Christ imprinted upon our heart and upon our souls. So then when God looks at us as our Heavenly Father, my friend, He doesn't see the sin. He doesn't see the rebellion. He doesn't see the past. He doesn't see what you did, why you did it, or anything like that. You know, whenever that He forgives sin, do you know where it goes? into the sea of forgetfulness. And my friend, if any time you ever feel like, oh gosh, I've sinned against God and I've done this, that's not God bringing it to your remembrance. That's not. My friend, he forgets it. He separates it as far as the east is from the west. Do you know that east and west cannot be calculated as to where that they meet? He said to bring forth the best robe. And he said, don't just show it to him, put it on him. Because he's my son. You know, I would imagine those servants probably joined right along with that older son and said, you know, we have worked for him and we've labored for him. And here this kid comes back after that he's lived in debauchery and after that he's done all these things. This kid, who does he think he is? Didn't matter what the servants, what the older son thought. What mattered was the fact that the father loved the son. That the father loved him and he put a ring upon his hand and he put shoes upon his feet. My friend, that's what a man, my friend, that is naturally speaking, a father. That's what he did for him. But do you know that you have another father? You have a heavenly father. You have a father, my friend, that loves us, that he goes beyond what an earthly father will do for us. You ever thought about the lengths that God has gone to give us the creation that we've got? How that God has created all things well, according to his will. And he goes beyond that humanly possible to redeem us from sin and to reconcile us unto him. He gave the very best. He didn't divide up a treasure. We're not redeemed unto God by corruptible things such as silver and gold that was received by tradition. But we are redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wanted to redeem man and make it possible that you could actually call God your Father. He went to the very nth degree. He, my friend, gave the very best that heaven had to hold. It wasn't gold that saved you. It wasn't silver that saved you. It wasn't your goodness that saved you. But he gave the most precious thing that there was to him. And that was his son. He gave you an inheritance. He gave you, my friend, the very thing by which that we are reconciled unto God. There's a verse of scripture that's found over in the book of the Ephesian letter. And it's a turning point to that chapter. That's a chapter that says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. There in the middle of that chapter, when it talks about how that we've been separated from God, like this young man, two little words, but God, who is rich in mercy, and love wherewith he loved us when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ, and he has lifted us up to set in heavenly places with him. My friend, he loved us enough that he wanted us to be with him, reconciled to him, that he gave something more precious than gold. He gave his son. And my friend, it tells us today that we've all sinned. We've come short of the glory of God. We don't measure up to the righteousness that God demands. But the Bible also tells us that being justified by his grace, it is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God commendeth his love toward us, that yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This young man, my friend, just came back to his father. But we can come unto the Father, our Heavenly Father, through Christ Jesus. Do you know what a privilege it is to be a child of God? Do you know what a privilege it is to be called a son or a daughter of God, to be in the family of God? It's a great privilege today when we celebrate Father's Day. Let's remember our Heavenly Father. Let's remember the one, my friend, that for all intents and purposes, he could have turned his back on us and said, you've sinned. I'm not going to have anything to do with you. I'm just going to wipe you all away and I'm going to start all over again. No, he wanted to redeem mankind. He wanted to show his love. And we want to conclude this morning with a verse of scripture that's found over in 1 John in the 3rd chapter and the 1st through the 2nd verse. It says, behold, look, gaze upon, realize, take into your heart. Behold what manner of love. What kind of love does God have towards us? It's a love that's beyond human description. It's a love today that is beyond human love. It's a love that's beyond brotherly love even. My friend, it's the supreme type of love. It's the love that sacrifices for the good of someone that does not deserve it. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Now, whenever that word uses that word sons, it's not excluding the ladies, and please remember that on Mother's Day. You're not excluded by the way that that's worded. That speaks of a position with God. You're sons and daughters of God, but you hold a very high position with Him. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. We are now, not later, not sometime in the future. We are now the children of God, and it doth not appear what it shall be like. But we know when we see Him, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. When you get to heaven, it's not a matter of if you get to heaven. You've been redeemed. You've been bought. You've been purchased. You've been reconciled unto God. When you get to heaven, there's going to be a homecoming that far exceeds what we read here in the book of Luke, of a young man coming back to his father. You're going to, my friend, be welcomed. Welcomed. My friend, you're going to see loved ones. You're going to see fathers. You're going to see mothers. You're going to see brothers and sisters and cousins who've already gone on to their long award. But most importantly of all, you'll be welcomed by Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. My friend, get a hold of this. I know this world is corrupt. This world, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for it right now. But I want to tell you, my friend, I want to tell you that whenever that we see Him, we'll say that it's been worth it all. It's been worth every mile that we've traveled. It's been worth every heartache that we suffered, everything. And my friend, we'll see Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I've never seen the face of the Father. I used to think whenever that I was a kid, I'd look up at the moon and kind of see a face there and wonder, well, is that a portrait of God, the Father? But I want you to know whenever that we see Him, we're going to know Him. He's going to know us. And He's going to welcome us like children. And you know what He's going to do? He's going to invite you unto a wedding supper. You've already got the RSVP. You're going to sit down at the table. Whenever the Christ embraces you as His bride, glory be unto His name, you're going to be there, and you're going to be a guest of honor there, and you're going to experience what it is to be welcomed home by God the Father. Behold what manner of love that the Father hath for us, that we would be called the sons of God. A father's love, this father's love, just cannot be explained, cannot be overwhelmingly defined. But thanks be to God, He has made us His child. He is our Father. We cry, Abba, Father, and we are His child. And God bless you is my prayer. And God be with all of you fathers today. Don't think that your work is in vain. Don't think that the raising of children is in vain. My friend, it reaps rewards in the long run. From Shirley and I, we want to leave some Bible markers out there on the table for all the men of the church, whether you're father or not. But I want you to feel free to take one. And my friend, I want you to look at it and remember who your father is and what he did for you and how that he welcomed you into his presence.